Our text for this morning is the lesson we heard read, the 17th chapter of the Revelation to St. John. My dear friends in Christ, this morning we are really doing two things that are quite rare occurrences in a Lutheran setting. The first one of those is that I am preaching on a text from the book of Revelation. The second is that we have sung a hymn just now, and we'll sing it after the sermon that probably many of you have never heard of in your life. There may be more than just a little connection between those two things. For the past several weeks, the New Testament lesson that has been assigned to be read in this chapel has been from the book of Revelation. And yet you have heard it very seldom. Our hymn, on the other hand, did not even make it into Lutheran worship, even though that's probably not surprising, since I'm sure it didn't appear on anyone's top 10 most popular hymns list. Yet, both the text and the hymn for today present us with a most sobering and thought-provoking picture of what the world in these last days is really like. A picture that in so many ways goes against the feel-good generation. So if we consider very closely the message, we can see that the people of God are surrounded, but not overcome. Surrounded. Surrounded first by the spirit of this age. The spirit of the woman pictured in our text, seated upon the scarlet beast. The secularistic, the hedonistic seductress, Babylon the Great, whose abominations horrify the world and yet at the same time entice it. For the powers of the world, whatever they may be, whether Marxist or capitalist, secularism or materialism, would always draw people away from the Creator to worship the creature, to follow after the base instincts that are in each and every one of us, to become immersed in the abomination spoken of in the text. And make no mistake about it, the woman, the beast, the dragon are all at war with the saints of God. They are indeed drunk with the blood of the saints, the blood of those who bore testimony to Jesus. But we are not just surrounded in the world. The church itself is also under attack. And I believe sometimes if you look closely and read the news reports, much more so than ever before, by the unholy alliances of the spirit of this age. The spirit that, as our hymn says so eloquently, leads the people to and fro in errors made astound. You do not have to look far for examples of these very things. I would just like to share a few of them with you that I think illustrated very succinctly that have just taken place in the last several weeks. The first is the picture of the Bishop of Rome seated next to the Dalai Lama at his great event in Assisi for world peace. An event that receives the rave reviews of the secular and even of the religious press to show how wonderful it is and what a grand ecumenical age we live in when all of these religions can gather together and pray for the same thing, pray for peace, even though there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Or what of the decision that was reached recently by the United States of Canada that said, basically, God is not necessarily the King of Kings. He could also be the Queen of Kings. What of our own Lutheran Church? The Lutheran Church in the United States. The following announcement may very well be symptomatic of where that church is headed in the general sense. The recent Lutheran Presbyterian Fellowship Agreement will be celebrated Sunday at Our Savior's Lutheran Church, ALC. The Reverend Carl Simon, Executive Presbyter of the Milwaukee Presbytery of the Presbyterian Church, USA, will preach. Reverend Simon will also help distribute communion at one church. But perhaps all of these that I've just talked about are symptoms of the one greatest thing of all. And that is in another recent news article that said, many prominent mainline scholars now doubt that Jesus predicted the end of the world. What greater deception could there be? What greater and more cunning lie could the Father of lies sow in the hearts of men than this? That there will be no judgment, no destruction, no end, no final reckoning, no calling to account. But that instead everything can only get better and better. That we're living in a wonderful age where we may have some problems, but there can be certainly some way in which we can work them out. And I think that poison even spreads into the church, where we're told again and again that if you just push the right buttons or follow the right programs or use this procedure or that, the people can't help but come rushing into the church and filling it up, then you'll have more money than you'll know what to do with. But is that really what the tenor of our Lord's teaching was? Is that really what the times are telling us? Or are the times telling us what our Lord himself said? When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? So then we are surrounded. But we are not overcome. They will make war on the Lamb, our text says. But that is not the end of the story. God will fight the battle. He will win the victory, and he will do it to the Lamb. As verse 14 of Revelation 17 says so beautifully, the Lamb will overcome them because he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and with him will be his called, chosen, and faithful followers. And he has called us to be faithful, to put our trust in him and in his unfailing word. As we will sing in a few moments, Luther says in the hymn, God will defend his truth, he will keep his flock faithful, for he alone is our salvation. And what promise have we of this? What other promise could there be than the promise of the cross, of the empty tomb, of the Lamb who was slain and who will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead? Worthy is the Lamb. We are surrounded, but he has overcome. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen.